welcome to pod 35 of the official Palace pod. I'm Chris Grissom from Palace TV, which you can watch on eagles.cpfc.co.uk, YouTube, and the official Palace app, plus all the social media channels. Well, welcome to the pod. I had a week off last week where Statman filled in for me, but it's great to be back. What is on this week's pod? Well, as usual, we will end with Roy Hodgson's press conference. We've got an epic chat with Statman. James McArthur spoke to Premier League Productions. We've got Jordan Ayew's interview from when he won Player of the Month for August. But before all that, we chat to a cricketer, Matthew Hoggard, who played Test cricket for England. He played 67 Test matches, getting 248 wickets, and of course was part of that team that won the Ashes in 2005. He was at Sellers Park for the business club lunch. In association with my people, he was there on their behalf. He did a 15-minute talk, followed by a Q&A. But this is a little chat I had with him outside the stadium. It was a little bit rushed because he had left already to go and get a taxi, but we still wanted to interview him. So he very kindly came back and spoke to us. I wanted to do a nice in-depth long chat about cricket, but sadly time was not on our side. But here is what he had to say. Matthew, first of all, what have you been doing today?
Yeah, I've been with my people at Crystal Palace business lunch.
So what were you doing? Just talking to the guys after they had their dinner?
Yeah, just trying to give them an insight of how sport use the tools that my people have got in their tool bag and how it can be applied to businesses.
So doing speeches like this, is this the kind of thing when you finish playing that you imagined you'd be doing?
No, I thought I'd be living on a beach and drinking, sipping G&Ts, living the good life. But unfortunately, that's not happened. So it's nice to be able to come out and meet different people, come to some great sporting venues and try and rob a living.
And how do you decide what stories you're going to tell? You must have so many from over the years.
Yeah, obviously, being an old past person, you get lots of stories, and it's then trying to work out what stories you want to try and give to be able to bring to life what you're trying to either sell or what the theme of the dinner and the networking are.
And what you chatted about, you covered the 2005 Ashes. Do you feel like this summer of cricket has been the nearest to that summer in terms of people showing an interest in cricket?
Yeah, I think this summer is awesome, wasn't it? The World Cup unfolded and the drama of the final where we drew the final and drew the super over, but be able to be crowned World Cup champions, which you don't get in English sport that often to say that you're the World Cup winners, and then the way that the Ashes have gone, they drew the Ashes this year, but they tested dovetail a little bit, and they were that innings from Ben Stokes at Headingley was rivaled 2005, and the only thing that was missing was a victory and bringing the Ashes home. But yeah, the drama and the way things unfolded, it was a fantastic year of cricket.
Someone asked you about the warm-ups the cricketers do playing football. Are you any good at football?
No. I think I'm in the ilk of the ball might get past me and the player might get past me, but they never got past me together.
And obviously we're at Crystal Palace. I was just wondering, from an outsider's view, you know, you're not from London, you're not a Palace fan. What is the outsider's view of Crystal Palace as a football club?
I walked in, it was very friendly, it looks modern, and the food was fantastic. I did have a little sneak preview outside and have a look at the grass, which looks immaculate like most football grounds, and it just seems a well-run, very friendly club.
What about on the pitch?
I've no idea. I didn't step on the pitch, and I haven't followed their trials or tribulations this year.
Who's your team?
If it had anybody, it would be Dirty Leeds.
Okay, they're doing all right at the moment. They've got a good manager.
A good manager, they're doing okay. But again, it's once you play sport, and I wasn't a big fan of sport. I'd rather be out playing sport than watching sport. So I've not really got a supporters mindset. If I'm not playing it, I'd catch up at the results stage rather than watching the 90 minutes, 80 minutes, or the 5 days of it.
Cool. Thank you very much.
No worries.
Matthew Hoggard there, speaking at the My People Business Club lunch. Next up, the man who is the informed player for Palace this season, Jordan Ayew. He's got two goals already. Here is him talking to James Woodroof after winning the Player of the Month award in association with Manbet.
Jordan, congratulations on being awarded the Man But X Player of the Month for August. It's voted for by the fans. How does that make you feel?
First of all, I want to thank them and thank everyone at the football club. I'm grateful and it's a good thing, but like I said, it's just the beginning and it gives me more energy and more desire to work harder for this football club.
You had some brilliant performances against Everton, obviously with the goalless draw, but the wins at Manchester United and Aston Villa, you played a huge role in. You must be very pleased with your performances in the month.
Well, my target was to start well, and thank God everything went done well. So hopefully I need to continue, I need to even do better, I need to work harder, and yeah, that's it.
How is the mood in the camp at the moment? Crystal Palace sit fourth after the first month. You must be riding high.
Yeah. We are happy, but we all know that it's still the beginning and we have a lot of games to go. So we know that there are going to be important games coming up, and we just need to keep our focus and keep working hard.
A word for your teammate, Jeffrey Schlupp. He's been quite instrumental in providing goal chances for you. How much do you enjoy playing with Jeffrey?
Oh, Jeff was a very good player. He has been really, really good since I've been here, since last season, and he's consistent. I enjoy playing with him, obviously in the national team as well. So, like I told him, just thank him for the things he does for me on the pitch. And yeah, that's it.
Roy has started you in three of the four games. You must feel like you have the full support of the manager.
Obviously, as a player, you want to play, and as long as he gives me the chance, I just need to prove that I deserve to start, and that's what I'm trying to do every game I have the opportunity.
Is it fair to say that since the move to Palace became permanent, you feel much more settled and relaxed? And do you think that's having an impact on your goal return already this season?
No, I've been settled since last season, but it's just football and things that you can't explain. You just keep on working hard. And if I wasn't settled, maybe I wouldn't have been back here. But I felt settled since last season. It's just times changes and keep on working hard, and that's it.
You said this is just the start for the season. Have you set yourself any personal targets and also targets for the team?
No. The most important thing is we need to stay up. That's 42 points or 40 points, and that's the target. Me personally, I don't have any targets. I just try to enjoy my football and to be important in every game and to do what I know what to do best is to work hard and try to be decisive for the team. So that's what I try to do every time I have the opportunity.
Congratulations on your award and for a brilliant month, and good luck for the rest of the season.
Thank you.
Jordan, are you there? And if you're wondering why there might be a little bit of a breeze in the podcast this week, it's because I'm sat on the floor at the training ground, on the grass, between all the pitches, just enjoying this September sunshine. So Jordan Ayew, we've heard from now, another player who's played many, many games for Palace and also scored many goals and got many assists. James McArthur sat down with Premier League Productions this week.
From the outside, Crystal Palace can wrongly sometimes be described as a one-man team, i.e. Wilf Zaha. So how good is it that someone is scoring goals this season? And it's not Wilf at the moment, it's somebody else, just to prove that there's more to Palace than one player.
I don't think we care. I don't think we mind that everyone thinks that from the outside. We know what we are. We know that we're a good side. We know that we can beat anybody in a day with any player in the team or without any player. So it's about us focusing on the next game. We want all the best players playing, and we are. So hopefully get a result against Wolves.
Yeah, that next game, as you say, is against Wolves at home. What do you make of them so far this season, and how impressed were you with them last year?
They're a very good side. They've added to the squad, which obviously they've needed to with Europa League. We see Europa League, so many teams, when they go into it, they find it hard to do both. And myself, I played in it when I was with Wigan, and it was very, very tough. When whenever you played in that Thursday night, it's tough to get going and try and keep the energy levels up on a Sunday. We're hoping that it'll be that case, but we know it's going to be a tough game. We know that they're a quality side, they've got quality players throughout their side, and it's going to take us plenty of best to try and get the 3 points.
It's interesting you talking about trying to juggle, if you like, the Premier League and the Europa League because of the number of games. They've actually played 12 games so far this season to your 5.
You could say that they could be a lot fitter than us then. There's always a flip side to it, yeah. But we know against anyone, no matter if they play on the Tuesday, Thursday, infant, it's going to be tough. We need to be on our game, do what we have been doing, and if we do that, we're confident we can get the win.
And the fact that you would have had a week to prepare, and as I say, they've played in Europe, on paper that sounds an advantage, but as you pointed out just now, it needn't necessarily be.
Well, whenever when you're a footballer, when you get a defeat, you want to bounce back straight away. So they've obviously got a result on Thursday that they won't be happy with, so they'll be looking to bounce back, so we know they're going to be dangerous.
And from your perspective, the same thing applies. You had a result last week that you wouldn't be happy with. The chance to bounce back with the first of 2 home games. So a critical period this for Palace, do you think? Or certainly an important one?
Yeah, but every game's important. Mm. You're right, there is extra pressure to try and bounce back. And throughout the years, Palace have been very good at that, so hopefully we can continue that.
And it's slightly bizarre, but you're in the middle, you're the third game into 11 games in a row in London, which means obviously either home games or derbies. Great for the players' point of view in terms of not having to travel, and I guess even better for the fans.
Yeah, but we know Christmas period we're going to need to travel a lot. It is nice, obviously, being up the road or being at home, that it's not too far to go. We just need to treat it like every other game this match and try and get those 3 points, because if we get those 3 points, I think it's been a very good start of the season.
Absolutely. I'm going to switch away from the football, if I may, and ask these questions for our colleagues at NBC. If you could have dinner with one person, dead or alive, who would it be?
I'd say Billy Connolly. Very funny, very intelligent, being from Glasgow, the insight he's got from it, I think it would be nice to spend dinner with him.
If you were stranded on a desert island, what's the one item of food that you would have to survive?
Pasta. Most days I'll eat pasta. My wife's family's Italian, which is obviously good for myself, getting nice food.
Describe, if you will, your first pair of football boots.
Reebok, black and red. Like, I was so delighted to get them. I think actually I wore them too much that I had a big hole in the front, which when you were younger always happened, and still kept wearing them.
And finally, James, who was the player you idolised when you were growing up, and whose boots perhaps you wore?
Paul Gascoigne. Being a Rangers fan, he was the player that I would always watch and admire.
James McArthur there, talking to Premier League Productions. And moving on to the man who filled in for me last week. It's Statman, and it's an epic one, a really long one, and we're up in the posh seats at Selhurst Park. That's right, I'm up here in the posh seats with Mr. Posh of Crystal Palace. Statman, no, I'm joking. You're not really, are you?
No. Well, I'm Statman. I'm not that posh, am I?
No, you're not, no.
No. I'm not the one who's come back from Japan.
And Bali,
sorry, he throws in. The boy from Richmond who flies out to Japan. The only thing that I was surprised about is that you're obviously a massive rugby fan and you've flown back just before the Rugby World Cup starts.
I'm not a massive rugby fan. I couldn't care less. With rugby, I'm like those annoying football fans in the World Cup where if England start doing well, then I'll start watching it and getting interested.
Okay. And same with cricket, I imagine?
No, massive cricket fan.
Oh, you are a cricket fan. Okay.
I should say I do like rugby because my father-in-law likes rugby and took me to an England game earlier this year.
I see. Yeah.
We walked from Richmond to Twickenham.
Good man, yeah. So you must be the only person in Richmond who doesn't really like rugby then?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Probably, yeah.
Yeah. the outcast as usual.
Yeah.
But tell me about Japan quickly.
Well, I was only in Tokyo for the plane was a bit late, 2.5 days.
Yeah.
So it was rushed, but it was great.
Yeah.
Crazy city. No one's overweight there.
No.
It's really weird.
And healthy diets.
Yeah.
Not all vegans, might we add.
Not good food for us. I'd say I struggled.
They don't look after you vegans, do they?
No, we asked at the hotel lobby for do you know any good like vegan or vegetarian restaurants, and they all laughed and then told each other and giggled and then printed off loads of bits of paper. I thought, oh wow, they've got loads of recommendations. They just typed vegetarian restaurant into Google on search and printed it all off and stapled it together and handed it to us.
That's service. Yeah. were you in a hostel or how?
No,
cheap,
really
was
nice hotel. What was five it? Star hotel, yeah. Honeymoon.
Oh yeah, of course.
Treat a lady. Love those toilets as well.
Yeah, tell me about them then. Tell me about Japanese toilets.
they make you go, woo.
Quite a flush then. I
yeah,
imagine.
Yeah,
quite
yeah,
a spray.
Yeah. I found out you can adjust the power, but I think the person before me.
I mean, I don't want to know.
I nearly left the floor. My head nearly hit the ceiling.
Brilliant.
And I didn't realise that I thought it went for a certain amount of time and stopped. I didn't realise you had to physically stop it. I thought, this is going on a long time.
You could still be there now.
Anyway.
Well, anyway, mate, enough of Japanese.
Oh, yeah, I enjoyed your podcast. I listened to it on a sunbed in Ubud in Bali.
Yeah, there was at one stage a Twitter handle trending, hashtag GreerSanal.
Oh, really?
Did you hear that? Did you see that one?
Yeah, that was just the injury news about the game.
Right, no. I don't know. Some feedback there.
I enjoyed you being the, not the stat man,
yeah.
Your scout mate.
Yeah, my scout mate. Yeah, he did all right, didn't he? I just thought it was quite interesting because me and you were obviously Palace. He's not, but he scouted a lot of games and he does a lot of stats work.
Yeah, no, it was good to hear the an outsider's view from watching the 23s on who the players are. That was quite interesting.
Yeah. Well, I'm pleased it interested you, mate.
It did.
Yeah. But it's good to have you back. I tell you what is difficult. When you record the intro bits in between, I had to send about 31 takes to, bless him, our editor, who on a Friday night,
I used to type it out at the very start, and that's how it used to sound scripted, and now I just riff.
Yeah, well, as I can tell, because you've started with Japanese toilets.
Yeah. I don't know. You just type this out.
Oh, right.
This is pure ad lib.
Yeah, pure ad lib. And it does come across that way. Do you want me to stat you then, mate?
Stat me in my Tokyo face.
Okay. I will do. It's very mixed today. But I feel, as with any stats, it's up to you how you take them. You can make a stat of anything. You really could. But it's how you read them, how you take them. Mm. Now, these ones, though, for Wolves, they very much tell a story. And they tell a prediction. And I'm not endorsing gambling at all. But it's telling me that there's a result that's going to happen here on Sunday. And why is that? Well, the first one is Palace. We've won 3 out of the last 4 league games against Wolves. So we're in really good form against them. So you'd think off the back of Palace will win. Wolves, though, they've scored...
Well, you say that, like 3 out of the last 4.
Yeah, I do.
But, I mean, last season we won 1 and lost 1. Yeah. And then the other time was in 2012-13 when it was totally different players, wasn't it?
Yeah.
And it was Joel Ward.
I'm just trying to make something out of these stats, mate.
Okay.
Yeah, if you could just let me... Just let me make something out of the stats. Okay.
What does a game in 2012-2013 have any bearing on like now?
Yeah. I mean, well, should we even bother doing this stat show?
No. Okay, so carry on. Go on. Sorry, go on, hit me with your fantasy. Yeah.
Sorry. It's that Wolves have scored in at least once in each of our last 4 in their 14 away league games here. So although they've not got a particularly good record against us, they do like to score.
Mm.
They do like to score.
Yeah, many teams do.
Yeah, but they do, yeah. But makes me think a nice little cheeky 2-1 win. Just off the back of those 2 stats. That's what I'm feeling. I'm feeling a win. I'm feeling us conceding.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah. Okay. Brilliant.
I'll let the defence and the keeper know about your faith that you have in them.
Thank you. But this one is slightly negative.
Is that why it's pink on your paper? Because is that the green ones there? Are they positive and the pink ones are negative?
Yeah, thank you, mate. Yeah.
What's negative about pink?
I don't have a red highlighter.
Oh, okay.
I think it's quite a strong colour, and it might take away the letters underneath. So
that's fine.
That's why it's pink. Sorry. But the negative one is a wayside have won 6 of the last 8 league meetings when Palace and Wolves have played.
That's interesting.
Yeah. So that one I didn't like. So that's why I whacked that one, in pink. Well, I don't know why you'd like that one, because obviously that's better for Wolves coming up to Saturday.
Yeah, I suppose so.
Yeah.
I just like the start. It just makes a bit more sense.
Makes you excited.
Yeah.
Okay.
Two good away teams.
Yeah. Two good away teams going at it. And we, of course, you were there, weren't you? Wolves away last season.
I was, yeah. For the fireworks.
Yeah. Enjoyed it. Jordan Ayew off the mark, that one.
Mm.
Could he strike again?
Yeah, what I remember about that one, like, obviously he scored the goal and cried. And then I interviewed him afterwards and he was just like, yeah, all right, just score. Like, pretending like it wasn't a big thing. I thought, you cried.
Oh, we've all been there, haven't we? Oh, God, I really regret crying the other night. Let me just make a little deal of it, you know? Yeah. But, yeah, took it well. And on form now.
Yeah, he is. Great.
Yeah.
Lovely guy as well. Very friendly.
Yeah, yeah. Well, that African Cup of Nations just makes him seem reborn now, doesn't it?
I thought he did a great job. I'm not allowed to have an opinion, but I thought last season, like, aside from the scoring, I thought he was a very good defensive forward. Yeah. Like, he was a good first line of defence. His closing down is... Yeah. He doesn't just chase around. He's quite clever with it as well. I thought he's very good at that.
It'd be great in a 5 or 6-a-side team, wouldn't it?
I would.
He just, you know, just tight game, just chase, just keep running, keep running, keep running. Yeah. You don't see him stop.
And he's finishing. I was filming training today.
Oh.
Because I do film stuff now.
Yeah, yeah.
I learned how to use a camera.
Yeah.
Yeah. And he was putting them away in shooting practice.
See, that's why you're not allowed to bet in football, isn't it?
Yes.
Yeah, but I mean, you've given your...
I don't bet. I'm not allowed.
No, you've... Yeah, yeah, okay, yeah. But no, I mean, that's exactly why you're not allowed. Yeah. Well, you make that seem as if you're not allowed, other than your job, as if your mother's banned you from betting as well beforehand.
No, I'm just not allowed. I'm used to it now. It's been years.
Yeah, yeah. We don't do
I didn't really do it anyway. I wouldn't recommend it.
You like your fantasy football and you'll stick to that, eh?
I don't even do that.
You don't like any of it?
No.
Okay.
No. I like reality.
What a thrilling life you live. Anyway,
my wife had a dream, right?
Okay.
That Palace beat Spurs 4-1, right? And she put, bearing in mind we're skint because we got married,
she got someone back
at home to put £10 on a 4-1 win. And then when we were 4-0 down, she was like, put it the wrong way around. I was like, it's still not 4-1, it's 4-0. But apparently, it means something. Nope.
So you won't be listening to Mrs. Grierson's dream predictions from now on.
No.
That's an interesting one. Has that ever come off for you? Have you ever had that where you've had a premonition or you've had just a spooky feeling?
I can't remember the story. She's got like one of her passwords to her computer is the name of a horse that she once bet on. And I think she had a dream about it and put money on it won, I think.
Nice. So I've got this weird one, especially for away games. If I'm in a new area or new surrounding bit, walking up to the stadium, if there's something that reminds me or gives me an inkling of Palace, I think that's a good sign. So I was at, what was the other one I was at recently? Last season, God, I'm trying to remember where it was. It was an away win for Palace anyway. Beforehand, Eagles Road. Walked up there, Eagles Road. I thought, that's good. That's a bit Palace-y. Then another one, there's some relation to Palace. If I see something like that, I mean, you're looking at me like I'm a crazed madman.
You're so nuts, I think I want to marry you.
You're already taken, and so am I, mate. We both missed the boat. But don't you, is that just me? Is that really strange? I'd love to know, other people
you're
must...
talking to like the
most boring person. Yeah. I don't play fantasy. I don't, well, betting's all right, but he just gets excited by Japanese
toilets. Rational and logical.
Yeah. I mean, it's not a particularly thrilling way to live. But still, anyway, that's me. That's me. I'd be interested in what others do. I'm sure there are. But I know people wear certain socks, certain, you know, whatever. Yeah. Like players are. You've done it with players. What players? What have the players got superstition-wise?
I don't know. I asked the question. I don't care. But
no, do you want to re-record this whole thing? You've not come out well, have you? Japan's not being...
Yeah, I'd be interested for the purposes of creativity and my job.
What did you see in Japan? What happened to you? You come back a changed man.
It's a robot show. It's really good.
Did you? A robot show?
Yeah,
as in Robot Wars?
As a robot restaurant, yeah.
And what, they're serving you or what, they're just in the background?
No, you go and watch a show like downstairs, everyone gets drunk and then these big robots with people on go, I've got lasers, I'm going to kill you. And then it goes on for about an hour and a half. Dancers and people with drums. It's very good.
And you don't obviously understand anything because nothing's in English.
No, it's all in English because it's all Western people in there. Yeah.
Well, Western people with no vegan options.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. So not that well set up. But still, yeah, that sounds good. Mm. Please enjoy it.
Anyway, back to Wolves.
Sorry. Back to stats. Positively, let's look at our unbeaten run. What unbeaten run, I hear you say.
What unbeaten run?
Our home unbeaten run.
Oh, that one.
Yeah. So we're unbeaten in our last four Premier League games at Selhurst Park. And this is our longest run since late December 2017. So, I mean, it's fairly
it was a good run.
I suppose.
That was Roy's first season, right?
Yeah. Yeah, it was, wasn't it? 16-17 came in. Yeah, eight games in. Turned the ship around. So, yeah, it was. Yeah, so we're looking good there. If we can carry that one on. Let's just look at this one, though, because we had... This is one that... we were studying at the end of last season. There were some weird patterns going on where we'd win, lose, win, lose, win, lose. And it went on and on and on. Do you remember that? The end of last season?
Yeah. It's really hard for us.
Yeah.
Sorry, we're going to digress now. Because we plan to do shoots.
Yeah.
And then, which are like nice and interesting and fun. And then the team loses and it's like, oh no, let's not do it this week.
It's been it.
And then we win.
Yeah.
And we're like, okay, let's do it. And then sometimes something will happen like, oh, we can't do it this week. Can we do it the week after? Okay. And then we lose. And we're like, oh, we can't do it this week. And then, frustrating, the old WL.
You'd prefer spells of loss, 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 win, win, win. The Pardew
just
days.
Just win, win, win.
We had often then we'd go through loss, 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 but win, win, win.
Yeah. The Pardew days were fun.
They were fun. I like the one where he stitched you up in an interview.
Which one? There were many.
The one you told me this before put you massively on the spot. Just turn everything back at you, and it was just a completely unusable interview.
Yeah, he did that a few times. Yeah. He was just having fun, though. Yeah. I did like him.
Yeah. Well, you've explained before, though, managers on the match day, they do all their requirements and come to you / us, Palace TV, last. Don't they? And you have to ask some nice...
Yeah, it's actually better now because we get a lot of the world feed of interviews, the ones that go around the world. So it's like, for example, on a home game, I don't do Roy now because we get it anyway, the ones that he does for other broadcasters.
Yeah.
So it saves him having to do too many. Oh. We get the press conference anyway. So.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah. Oh, good. Well, I'm pleased your life's a bit easier now.
Yeah, I do a lot of match day.
You do. So, sorry, let me get back to this stat quick before we overrun here.
We can't overrun. I'm in charge. It's going to be long this week.
This is Grierson time.
Yeah.
Will there be just Grierson's reflections?
Well, I've got my own programme column now.
Have you?
You not read the programme this season.
Start reading. Have you actually?
Yeah.
Grierson's thoughts?
I've got two pages in the programme. Eagle eye.
What do you say? Is it your thoughts? Is it?
Yeah,
I came back
it.
From Japan.
I don't even have a ghostwriter.
I'm
not trained.
This is real.
Yeah.
Unscripted. Chris Grierson column.
This week's it's about team photo shoots and photoshopping people in and things like that. Obviously, I don't do that.
Yeah. I'll be reading this. Good. Yeah.
And you need to go and go off. You go now and go and get the last two issues.
We sell well. Yeah. £3.50. You can buy it Saturday, Sunday.
Yeah, or digital somehow. I don't know.
No, I don't know. No, we should know. Let me get back to this stat, mate. Sorry.
I'll find out when they start paying me for my column.
Yeah. Well. Yeah. I think
technically they do. I get paid.
So. You live in Richmond. Right, sorry, let me stat mate quickly. So we're looking at Palace haven't lost consecutive Premier League games since losing 2-1 against Watford and 4-3 against Liverpool in January 2019. So whenever we've lost, we've tended to bounce back, which has been great. And obviously we're coming off the back of that defeat we don't talk about at Tottenham. This is in fact, so our last five league games, every time we'd lost, we've backed it up with a win. So that's that, going off the back of that form at the end of last season. So
love that.
Let's hope for that. Let's hope for that coming up. And let's look at one weird one to end with. Our subs. Look at making impact with the subs. We haven't had a substitute score for any of our last 29 Premier League goals. But what someone will point out, and I'm surprised you didn't, is that we do tend to like to play the starting 11 for as long as possible. We don't make as many subs as other teams. So
yes, that's I think the thinking sometimes is that subs don't always make a difference. Like if you see that the team are playing well and you feel like a goal is coming, then
yeah,
then there's no point changing.
That's true.
I don't know. I don't know if there's stats to back either way up. It'd be interesting to see.
These are just Grierson's reflections.
Yeah.
Yeah. Good man. Well, that's
one of my favourite things is my own reflection.
Well, that's me, mate. What have you got on the pod, though, this week? Or should I not have asked because you haven't decided?
I haven't decided yet.
Okay.
No, I think but I would have already said it at this point on the pod. I've already said what's on it.
Oh, right.
Anyway, let's talk about where we are. We didn't do that. We're sat in a out on the balcony bit of an executive box overlooking the pitch in the sunshine.
Which you've not had. You were in 2010 when you had hospitality with your dad.
And I didn't.
Oh.
I've never had it. Oh, no, I did. Yeah.
You stuffed
Sorry.
Your face beforehand.
I was thinking of Legends.
Yeah. You stuffed your face beforehand and couldn't fit in anything.
Yeah, my dad already had, yeah. No, my dad had stuffed his face. He'd had a chicken and chips.
And this was before the vegan days, weren't they?
Yeah.
Were these as far back as the days when you were even doing KFC adverts?
That was way before.
Yeah.
That was a long time ago.
Yeah. Saw the error of your ways now. When you see that pop up now, you're like, no, get it down. Obviously, they don't show the advert now, but on YouTube, if someone were to bring that up.
No, not at all.
No.
Stand by my decision all the time. we need to talk about the executive boxes.
Yeah.
So, we're on the end one. This is a player's one, is it?
No. These are customers' ones. There's match-by-match ones and seasonal boxes here. 10-person ones.
I've noticed we call it premium now, not corporate.
Well, it's all about experiences, Chris, isn't it? You know? We never call it corporate.
People still do, though. Fans do. Fans call it corporate. But if we keep saying premium, surely they'll...
It just should eventually, mate.
So what?
This is the second year of doing it.
So how do you get a box?
You can call... Well, you can email sales@cpfc.co.uk or call one of our hospitality team.
And what about things like Spironi's, where you don't get a box? Do you get a director's box seat with that?
Yeah. So you get a seat with all of them. You don't just eat a meal and then that's it and leave and stand. Yeah, so we've got directors. So we've got, if you want to sit in the director's box.
Go on, sell it to me.
Right, you want to sit in the director's box.
I mean, I know it all, but sell it to me.
Yeah, you want to sit in Spironi's if you want a host.
Jim Cannon.
You want Jim Cannon? You want to see Jim Cannon? Go in Spironi's.
Sean Derry's down there on Sunday.
Sean Derry is down there on Sunday, yeah. So, absolutely. Meet the next player, they'll host it. You get a lovely meal beforehand. All our packages are all inclusive. In Spironi's, then you sit in the director's box, perfect seat on the halfway line. Steve Parrish will be in there in that director's box seat. Gareth Southgate's been in there earlier this season.
Nice padded as well, the seats there.
Padded seat to keep you warm. And then, so that's those ones. So 2010 or Spironi's are in there. Or in here, where we're sat, Whitehorse Lane, you can get a box for 10 people, or you can go in our Legends restaurant.
No, she hasn't said the price on any of those.
No.
Just call up.
Just call up with a blank, or send your blank check in and we'll fill it in. No, it's very reasonable. I think it starts from 199, I think it starts from.
Okay, is that 199? Is 199 sales speak for 199?
I'll leave that for you to decide.
Nearly £200.
Yeah.
That sounds good. That's quite good. Quite a good treat.
We'll get you back in there, maybe for your dad's.
I would love for someone to treat my dad.
Yeah.
But I shouldn't get special treatment, should I? Mm. Although, can I just finally say, business club lunch, I went to it.
I was working, and
I got fed the food, and I got vegan options.
Well,
very happy.
When we know you're coming, that the you should see the kitchens. Is Chris Grierson? Is Mr. Grierson coming? No. Quickly, get the vegan stuff. There was pandemonium in there when we knew you were coming. Red carpet coming out. He's back from Japan. He's angry. He's not in a great mood. Quickly, open the doors. Make sure someone's there to greet him at reception. Honestly, the treatment this guy gets.
It did actually feel like that. Yeah.
Has he got his parking spot? Make sure no one's parked in Mr. Grierson's parking spot, whatever you do. And were you well looked after then?
I was really well looked after, yeah. I filmed you.
You did film me.
I zoomed in on you swanning around with guests, entertaining, holding court.
Yeah, what I do best, really, isn't it? It was a bit, what I will say, so Chris was filming the... You should see it, actually. There's a business club video going up of the day. Matthew Hoggard was guest speaker. And Chris was filming all the footage. When we had
Not all of it. I was filming the bad stuff from the back of the room.
What I will say, just hear me out first. Okay. From what I heard, you were filming all of the footage. Now, when the editors got it, what they said was, it was like the scene out of Love Actually, and all it was shots of me.
It's true.
I said, is there nothing else to work with? So, yeah, it's a good job other people film some other bits.
Yeah, I got Henry as well.
Good. Our marketing man.
Yeah. hotshot young marketeer. Yeah, I filmed him for a bit when he was still on his own, reading the order of events to try and fill a bit of time because he had no one to talk to.
What a great way to sell the event, have Henry just reading something. But yeah.
Anyway, that was fun. Well, that was really a pleasant one. How long has it been?
No idea.
Oh God, 20 minutes.
20 minutes.
Gee, end it now, mate.
Yeah,
end it now.
Okay, bye. And from one long interview to another, here is the press conference from this week with Roy Hodgson speaking to the press, looking ahead to the game against Wolves, and actually some different questions this week.
Afternoon, Roy. Start with some injury news, please, if there's any.
No, we're looking quite good at the moment. Conor Wickham, we think, will return to training either tomorrow or on Monday, but everybody else is now with us, so we have a full complement.
Looks very congested in that, more than the middle of the table, really, from third all the way down to 16th. Do you think that's possibly an early sign that perhaps an unfancied side could gatecrash the top six this season? The signs are looking good early on.
I agree with you, of course, but I just think five games is such a small sample. I think you really need to wait till at least a third of the league has, you know, been played, if you like, or the games in the first third of the season have been played, and then maybe you can start looking a bit more. And if it was as close after, say, 12 or 13 games is now, then I think it would be a very relevant observation. I'm always a bit worried after five games, you know, trying to work out whether the season's going to be a tighter one than last year or not, because there's so many more matches to have to play.
You're up against a side that's clearly down on its luck, 2 points from five games, European commitments to consider as well. Will you be looking for your players to, or expecting your players to show a bit of a ruthless streak against a side that, you know, kick a team while they're down?
Well, unfortunately, that's part of the business, you know, kicking teams when they're down, or sometimes trying to kick them when they're up, but it's all part of the business. But we don't approach games in that way, that here's a team that's down, you know, we need to be more ruthless. We really approach it that this is a home game against a team that's in the same part of the table or portion of the table as we are, and it's important to try and get the 3 points. And I think that they've probably been a little bit unlucky. I haven't analysed all their five games, but, you know, watching the game last night where they were clearly the better side and played some very good football, you know, I would base it, my judgment of them, more on the football they played and the way they went about the game, rather than looking at the result and saying, well, there's another bad result.
It's been interesting symmetry for your side in those five games so far. You've had some outstanding results mixed in with some disappointing ones as well. As a coach, is that difficult for you to gauge where you are right now? Or do you just accept that it's, as you say, it's a little early?
I do accept it's part and parcel of the game. In particular, we were very disappointed after Sheffield United games. We didn't think we came anywhere near the level that we need to come to or can play at. Tottenham Hotspur, well, they played exceptionally well in the first half and we weren't able to recover from it. And that's always going to be a very difficult game. So I think you have to look at each game as a separate entity, really, and, you know, judge what you've done in that game and judge where that might leave you going forward. So I wouldn't make any big judgments at the moment on where we are. We have a good opportunity tomorrow. We have two home games in a row now. We have a fully fit squad of players. The mood in the squad and in the team is good, and we have players returning now after long injuries. So I see it as a good moment in time for us, but it will only be a good moment in time if we take the points from the next two games.
Can I ask about Wilf Zaha? Five games, no assists, no goals. That's probably not what we expect from him in a typical passage of games. Is it possible that summer speculation affected him, maybe even his participation in the African Nations Cup, where he played quite a few games?
To be honest, I haven't realised that. I mean, I've realised he's not scored any goals, because very few people in the team have scored goals. He's only scored three, so it's quite easy to remember who the goal scorers were. As for assists, it's only three possible assists, so I think it's probably a little bit unkind to start saying, you know, you're not assisting enough or scoring enough. I would say that we expect a lot more from Wilf in terms of assists and goals, and I think we're going to get it, because his attitude in training and the way he's approached the games especially the last three games, has been very good once he came over the initial disappointment that, you know, he didn't get his way in the transfer window. Once he got over that, came to terms with the fact that now he's got to buckle down for his club, for his teammates, for his manager and coaching staff, and for himself, of course. I think he's been very good, and I thought his performance against Tottenham was excellent, and I thought his performance up at Manchester United was also excellent, as it was against Aston Villa. So I've actually been very pleased with him the last three games. But of course I can't deny the fact that he hasn't had an assist or a goal, so I have to make you right on that one.
I want to ask about Wolves, one of the standout teams last season. They surprised everybody with the way they were strong in all departments and consistent from day one to the end of the season. Are you surprised at how they've struggled this season?
No, and I don't know that I would say they've struggled either. I mean, they've obviously not got the start they wanted. And they've had, I'm sure, a couple of results, the last ones, in the home defeat against Chelsea and now losing last night, where they must be very disappointed and very upset about the cruelty of fate. But I didn't see the Chelsea game, so I can't comment about how that game panned out. But I certainly watched the game last night, and you know, if ever a team was going to win the game, it was Wolverhampton. So to come away from that game 0-1 must be a bitter blow, but it certainly shouldn't affect, I think, their confidence as a team, because they actually played very well, and they're playing every bit as well, I thought, watching the game last night, as they were last year. And I fully expect them to get points in the bag very, very soon, because they are a strong side. I'm just hoping they'll wait until after our game on Saturday, on Sunday, rather, to do so.
You must appreciate what Nuno's going through now, managing those extra fixtures. I mean, you finished top seven, I think, with Blackburn and got into Europe the following season. It affected your league form. You also had a problem with Fulham, not problem, but you managed it with Fulham some years later. How difficult is it just to manage those extra games? Because they're well on your schedule, don't they?
I can't really complain about the Blackburn ones, because we did extremely well to get into Europe, but we drew Lyon in the first round and got knocked out. So it wasn't the problem at Blackburn, was the injury situation, losing Sutton and Gallagher, who'd been outstanding the year before and scored lots and lots of goals. Both of them got seriously injured in September, and we didn't have them again, you know, until I left. So I will put the difference, if you like, in the two seasons at Blackburn more down to injury of two key players than the actual European. But of course, when we were at Fulham, we played a similar sort of amount of games that Wolves will play this year if they get to the final. I heard last night it was going to be 21. I can't remember whether we played 19 or 21. We certainly played 19, but I can't remember it was 19 or 21 that we actually played, because we also came into the qualification period very, very early. There's no doubt that affects you. You know, we dropped from 7th to 12th, and I would certainly put those five games down to the fact that we were involved in not only in the group stages, we actually went to the knockout stages as well, and all the way to the final. So that definitely affected us, I think, because you need a big and a strong squad to deal with that. And it's not easy for teams like Fulham and Wolves to have that strength of squad, where they can really play two teams. You know, they can play as strong a team on the Thursday as they play on the Sunday. You end up, especially in the knockout stages, playing basically what you think is your best 11 Sunday, Thursday, Sunday, and with the best will in the world, that's going to take its toll on players.
You're a two-time finalist in the competition. I think the schedule possibly needs looking at that. I mean, Wolves go into that game on Sunday on the back of 12 matches. You play five, so many of the other teams in the Premier League. Should your reward for having your best season in 40 years be that you had met with this deluge of fixtures 3 months later at the start of the season?
I think that if you don't want, you know, to accept the fact that you're coming in to the UEFA competitions as an outsider, in the sense that you finish seventh in your league, you know, the top four Champions League places, then there's one or two places where you virtually go straight into the first round proper. If you want to be a part of it and you're going to finish seventh, I'm afraid you have to accept that you're going to come in qualifying rounds. That is the bottom line. I don't know what UEFA could do about that. I think it's probably a bit unfair to turn around and say this is UEFA's fault. They need, in some way, to sift out a lot of the teams, because a lot of the teams that are coming into those early qualifying rounds are champions. You know, they're the champions of Northern Ireland, the champions of the Irish League, they're the champions of Lithuania, they're the champions of Estonia. You actually meet them as seventh in your league because you're coming from a stronger league with a much higher rating in UEFA. I don't know what the answer to that would be. And I think that, as we saw with Burnley last year, and we're now seeing with Wolves, it's going to be something which the team will have to struggle with and write it off to some extent, that if we want to add to our CV as Wolves and Burnley, that we've played European football, and to introduce your fans to, you know, European football, sometimes against extremely good teams, it might be the price you've got to pay, unless of course you can get two teams of equal strength, which if we look at our top four and five teams in the country can almost do.
It's just a question, Roy, about watching the game last night. When you sit down to watch it and you're going to play them the next week, is it very much with your manager's eye on, you're looking at certain aspects of their play, or do you sit down and watch the game in the round?
Oh, it's a much greater concentration on Wolves than it was on Braga. And you are trying to, as best you can, from TV coverage, which of course does cover the whole of the field and it's covering wherever the ball happens to be. When we do our analysis of teams, it's a lot easier because we have a wider view for a start, and we can, you know, even see what's happening off the ball, as it were, and not have to concentrate just maybe in a corner flag where two or three players are tussling to see who can get control of it. But it's still useful. It's still useful to get an idea, a further idea, if you like, of the shape of the team and what they're trying to do with the ball and without the ball. But I must say that the greatest preparation we have, or will have, in respect of preparing the game will come from all the video analysis which has been going on all week, and which will give us hopefully an even clearer picture of what the real strengths of Wolves are and where any possible weaknesses might lie.
How much of an advantage is it that you've had the whole week to prepare for this game? They're probably going to have one day, one training session maybe?
Oh, there's no doubt that if you could choose how do you prepare your next league game, you'd do it without any midweek fixtures. You'd do it without League Cup games, you'd do it without FA Cup games, you'd do it without European games. But the fact is that, you know, the benefits of Europe, i.e. the kudos that comes with having finished high enough in the league to attain European status and play in the European Cups, that does come, as we all know, with the slight disadvantage, or the disadvantage, that sometimes you're going to be playing Sunday, Thursday, Sunday, and your recovery time and your preparation time between games will be a lot less than it would be if you weren't playing. But I think there's no real point in... I must say, when I was at Fulham, I never ever complained about that. I took it as a fact that we had to accept by being in the competition. We signed up for the competition, and it meant this is what we had to do, and so you get on with it in the best possible way to make certain that you don't suffer too much of a disadvantage. But I can't sit here, obviously, and say it's no disadvantage at all. It's clearly better. If the longer time you have to prepare, the better.
And can I just ask about Saturday? Will you have a normal training session on Saturday?
Yeah, I mean, we've got an extra day. What we've done this week, of course, is given us an extra day's training. You know, we have our routine, like most teams, you know, so when it's Saturday to Saturday games, you know, you have the routine, the day off is always the same, and the way you work is in a similar fashion. When you get a Saturday-Sunday game, it gives you an extra day, and you can use that day, if you like, to do something different if you wanted to do, or to increase one aspect of your preparation and training time. But certainly when it comes to the match day minus one training session, that probably won't change very much at all. You know, we try to keep that pretty much standard, as it were, so that the players get into the routine and that they leave after the final training session comfortable with the week's work and ready for the game.
Thank you. Sterling,
what a question. Roy, after the Tottenham game, you said you thought Cheick Kouyaté had twisted his ankle. How is he right now?
He's good, thank you. No, it's taken him a while. I mean, it's quite amazing that when we watched the video and we saw how the ankle twisted, it didn't look very good. And, of course, on Monday, when we trained again, he didn't train with us. He was having treatment. But he's made a remarkable recovery. So, basically, he was back on the training field, albeit with the, you know, the sports scientist and medical staff as early as Wednesday. And today he trained fully with the first team, so he's 100% available.
Just a quick one on Jordan Ayew. His brother, Andre Ayew, at Swansea, this week gave an interview and he said sometimes he feels his brother Jordan is not appreciated enough for the talent that he has. Mm-hmm. Do you agree with that assertion?
Well, I don't know who he's thinking of in terms of not appreciating him. That's what I would need to know. It certainly wouldn't be a fair comment with regard to ourselves here, i.e. myself, the coaching staff and the players. We really appreciate him and we have enormous respect for him, and we think ourselves lucky to have a player of his quality with us. So that comment certainly doesn't apply to us, but whether he's thinking of other people, other areas, you know, you'd have to ask him. But I feel quite comfortable saying that it has no relevance, that comment, to his situation here at Crystal Palace, where he's very highly respected, and you know, we certainly have full respect. Again, I'm using the same word, we have full respect for his talents, which are good ones. And that's shown, he's playing every game.